Okay, so we're just going to, this episode's been taking forever to get up and us get together to record, so we're going to skip the funny.
What?
And
we're going to skip the funny?
We're going to skip the funny.
Why are we going to skip the funny?
Because we've got a lot to cover. We've been, like, we promised this 2 weeks ago.
But the funny is the funniest part of the show.
Well, I assume we call it the funny for a reason.
We could start off doing the Evangelion drink assignment. Everyone loves it, and then we could change it, like.
Oh, yes, everyone loves it. Especially, what's his name that was at the con?
We could do something about Escaflowne. I mean, we just watched it.
You mean, around Escaflowne?
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Oh my god, everyone knows about it. Oh my god, if we could do something with that.
Except people that haven't seen it. You know, I saw the first DVD of that, the TV series that's out now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, really, we should just get the show started.
But it's not the show without a funny.
You could tell them about, let's see here now. Okay.
I know what
you're No, there's this fan mail that we got you could tell them about. I think that'd make an excellent funny.
Well, we can get to that when we get to the fan mail.
No, you wanted to do a funny, and I think that's great fodder.
I don't know what you're talking about, MZ.
Oh, well, we'll just wait till later then, and then I'll refresh your memory.
There's clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio.
All right, so we've got a lot of con to cover.
And before we do that, we're going to welcome you to the show.
Yes. All the new listeners alike, welcome to ASO Radio, episode number 79.
The big 79.
And we're on our seventh season, not sixth season, as we said in previous episodes. So, welcome to the show. Give newcomers a brief breakdown here real quick. We start off with the news, work into the reviews, say hello to our fans, and then we work into the hot spot.
Yeah. And, so, this is going to be a good show?
Yes.
All of our shows are pretty good, though.
Yes, everyone is gold, especially number 64.
The shame.
The horrors.
It brings back bad memories.
But we got a lot to cover.
Yes.
So we got to get to it. So, have we been to any conventions lately yet, DB3? I don't know if I mentioned it on the show.
NZ, this is DB3.
Uh-huh.
And NZ17 bringing you this show.
Episode 79 of ASO Radio. And, tell us about this little convention that's been going on for only a few years in Denver.
There's this place in Colorado, its name's Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And for, like, the past 9 summers, they've had an anime convention. It's called Nandeshukan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we had the great opportunity to go, as in years past, where we've been foiled at the very last moment.
Foiled!
But this year we...
It's tragic when we can't go.
This year we were... Only one of us was foiled.
Yes. And that was by his own hand, so... Okay, so I can't remember how we did the coverage for NDK 2001, can you?
I don't even remember, man. No, I don't.
That's helpful in a sense, but it's not exactly helpful in the sense that I was aiming for. So, yeah. Okay, well, let's just go ahead and start off. Should we just start off listing the panels and whatnot we went to, or our general impressions, and then work into the specifics?
Let's do our general impressions last.
Kind of like a summary?
Yeah.
All right, we can do that. Would you like to start with the things that you did, people you saw, and all that jazz?
Sure.
All right. You want to refer to our official NDK programming guide, the Bible, if you will, for the convention?
Right.
Brief backstory here. I was handling most of the interviews most of the time, and so I had DB3 cover the stuff that I wanted to cover for the show that I wasn't able to. So we both saw slightly different things, and that's why we have a recap show, to recap the different things we saw.
Sure.
But to summarize the 3 days real quick, Friday, boring. Saturday, nothing happening. And Sunday, why'd they throw all the good stuff all at once?
Yeah.
Okay, but cover Friday, DB3.
Friday, we got to Denver Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Sort of chilled at our apartment. I mean, our hotel. Friday, we get to the con. We're, like, pumped up. We get everything. And then...
Get there in advance.
Yeah, we do. We get there in advance. We check out the dealer's room. That was sort of fun. Mm. We get split up, split apart.
Well, we kind of did a quick run-through of the dealer's room because there's a lot of people in there.
Yeah.
I don't think they know how to use the internet, and so they... had the dealer's room.
Yeah. Yeah. And...
Like you said, we ended up split up because of the dealer's room.
We ended up meeting up right before opening ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
Opening ceremonies was pretty good.
The taiko drummers were quite impressive.
That was the good part. The rest of it was... they introduced all the guests.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of guests and started getting repetitious, it felt.
Well, this is the problem I had with the opening ceremonies. It actually is like listed for, I guess 2 hours on the schedule of events. But here's the thing, is that the taiko drummers should have had their own thing.
Yeah.
Right? And then, because I know they're part of the opening ceremonies, but if they lead into the opening ceremonies, people are going to be there to see them if they're coming for the opening ceremonies. The problem with the opening ceremonies is it's the same thing at every, convention. Is they go, okay, here we got our introductory people, the taiko drummers in this case. Then we're going to introduce all the guests. Then we're going to go and run down through everything that you can just simply look at your guidebook and know. You know, instead of having you read the guidebook like they say 18 times, they just keep going, okay, and on page blah, 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 you'll notice blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, that's great, but I imagine if we go to these opening ceremonies, we want it more or less to be greeted, have them point out the big stuff, say the stuff you should try to get into. Basically, lay down the land instead of regurgitate what's in the con book, what I'm saying? So, okay, so what else we do that day, DB3? Or did you have anything else about the openings?
No, that's about it about the openings. The taiko drummers were like, worth it, though, like...
Yeah, we've got some video of them up on the Artist Alley, which, of course, everybody should check out that, because we took, like, 250 pictures at the convention, so that's why I want everybody to look at the Artist Alley just a bit, which we'll get to all the cosplayers and everything.
That's true.
And then, but the video doesn't properly portray just how powerful these drums were.
You know what I just realized? I never went into the gaming room once.
You know, I walked by there a couple of times, right? And generally just had a bunch of guys yucking it up in there, except Saturday night when nothing was going on. That thing was packed, and the whole hallway was filled with people. Were they, like, look at the schedule. Were they doing, I guess it wouldn't be on there about the game room. I wonder if they were doing their Omegathon at that time.
Oh, probably.
Anyways, okay, so...
Here's the funny part. NZ and I split up again. And we're planning to meet at my car to take the equipment.
Yeah, that wasn't until later that next day.
No, that's Friday night.
Yeah, okay, but you skipped from like 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock.
Well, that's why we split up.
You know, what did we do between then, after the opening ceremonies?
You went to Panther Comics.
Oh, yeah, I went to the sequential art panel with Panther Comics. Bunch of really great guys, really nice guys. Unfortunately, all four of them were representing... this year, because one of them was off in Japan, and I don't know where the fourth one was. What you looking up there, DVD?
I think I went and watched a movie, some anime.
Let's see, Friday, Avenger, Ultramaniacs, Robot Carnival.
Oh, I think I watched a little bit of Adolescence of Utena.
Where?
Right.
Oh, Adolescence of Utena.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so, we're bogging down the show, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead and tell them what you're itching to tell them.
So there
wasn't really much that happened between opening ceremonies and our panel.
Yeah. But we were going to have our panel at 10, And he's like, let's meet at your car in 9:30 so we can get our equipment in and everything ready. I get there a little late. I'll admit, I was probably there like 9:35. And NG wasn't there, so I was thinking, crap, he was here at 9:30. He's mad at me because I wasn't here.
That's the way it went down. Yeah, I was there. And
so then I sat there thinking, maybe he'll come back because the equipment's still here. Mm-hmm. He'll have to come back, and I sat there.
I can see how you would think that.
Yeah. And I sat there till about 10 to 10, I was like, crap, I'm going to have to get the equipment in. So I take the equipment in, I walk around the place after I get it in, trying to find NZ, I go back out to the car, leave a note, NZ, I'm in the room, don't freak out, I have everything ready. Well, I have everything there, so you can get it ready.
Meanwhile, I was on about panel 5 of my comic that I was making with the Panther guy. It was funny, we were doing a sequential art panel. The idea was a banker on his lunch break, and he had an apple, and we were supposed to take that and run and make our own comic, and he liked my comic.
That's good. At least someone liked it.
Yes, he actually took it with him. He liked it so much, which I thought's funny, because I'm not an artist, but I do draw funny things. So, yeah, I was busy doing that.
And I was busy freaking out about the show. It was getting ready to start in like 5 minutes by this time. And I keep walking around looking for him, waiting by the car, glancing out. It's 10 o'clock, I'm kind of supposed to start. I'm like, I'll just go there. By the time I get there, and he's standing there chatting with people, I'm like...
I was warming up the audience.
He was sitting, and he didn't even set up the equipment.
I didn't know I was there.
That wasn't my fault.
Yes, it was, because you didn't find me at the Panther panel. That was the plan B, if I wasn't at the car.
He's telling me this now.
Well, I thought the backup plan was obvious. So we had our panel, though, and that was really good.
It was a really good panel.
Should I tell this story?
You can tell the story, since I just told the story about you being...
Well, I thought your perspective was the best one to take that story from.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had this really great live episode. I mean, DB3 can tell you, we had the whole audience... They're all...
The ones that were...
What did you say? Yeah, 10,
by the
10,
end,
10,
by
10,
the
10,
end there were a lot of people there.
Well...
No.
See, the people that were actually there for us, there was about between 10 and 20 people.
I'd probably say about 10.
Well, more towards 10 than 20, but there was between 10 and 20 people. And then towards the end, we were thinking, oh yeah, man, nothing's going on. All these people packing in, listening to us do the show. Turned out they were just getting seats before the Evangelion panel with, what was his name, Scott Shaw?
Something dumb like that.
Let's see, he ditched us the next day, by the way. Scott McCoy, yes, Scott McCoy. He's a diva. Okay. We record this really great show. Have these signs saying, you know, applause, a laugh,
boo
and vomit. And it was a lot of fun. Got everybody involved. They really liked our Evangelion drinking song, which the Ava panel people wanted us to perform, but then McCoy's like, no, I need to get my panel started, even though it's scheduled for, what, 3 hours?
Well, they were going to stroll and go.
Yeah, they were just going to go and go, and if necessary, they were going to move it over to the bar and continue it there. So we have this great panel, got a lot of people signing up on the mailing list.
Yep.
Those people should probably have received my email this weekend saying new show up, and you know, and we actually sold the CD.
Yep.
Which was quite impressive given the next part of the story that I'm working up to. I gave away a bunch of t-shirts even though they were defective.
So
having a great show, everything is going swimmingly. I mean, There was a little couple of hiccups. You know, we had to set up our equipment and whatnot.
Yeah.
Instead of having the originally allocated 2 hours, we only had one because I had to have things changed around because of guest scheduling conflict on Saturday. We were moved to Friday. So we're getting towards the end, and we got a problem. Funk. Now, for those of you that have never attended an anime convention, you might be thinking of funk music, and I can assure you that's not what I mean. You see, though numerous posters, flyers, notices, even stuff in the con guidebook suggests, even the opening ceremony suggests, drinking plenty of water, getting lots of rest, bathing, and using deodorant. And yet every year,
People don't.
Disregarded instructions. Plain and simple. So when you put dozens and dozens of Ava fans. Now, I'm not saying Ava fans are necessarily unwashed, lazy, philosopher sort of folk that don't really earn their keep.
Hey,
but let's just say that hall stunk. And as a result, the stunk made a funk.
You know what the worst part of that is?
What's that?
It was on the first day, and is that bad?
Yeah, it was the first day, the least busy day, from what I took from that con. And, so the funk was so powerful, they were saying to us, hey, look, guys, you got to get out of here. And because generally, people are cool if your panel runs a little bit long. But the hall was packed and creating a health hazard, more or less. I mean, I'm not just exaggerating. This was their words. And so we had to hurry up and shuffle on out of there, disconnect our equipment. So what we do is we just throw the laptop computer into the bag because, it'd keep running off the power, and then we'd go and find a good spot and save it. Here's the thing. We throw the laptop in there, and because I was trying to conserve battery power, I was using a battery not designed for that computer, and so we weren't able to tell how much juice it would have.
Yeah.
I had put it on maximum power savings, but I forgot that there was a bug in the power savings features built into the laptop. So when it goes into a sleep hibernation sort of mode where the laptop's still running, but it turned off the screen, the keyboard, and the mouse and everything, the bug will make it so that the screen will turn back on. And the touchpad, the mouse, will reactivate. The keyboard, however, was another story. The keyboard remained off. And so I was unable to save the file. Now, at this point, a bit of panic struck in. As we had driven 320 miles, spent hundreds of dollars, all for the sake of going and getting Acer Radio a bit of publicity and doing their first live episode. And I suppose that's why experience is the greatest teacher, because at this point I started to panic a little bit, after this big investment, of course. And so I don't stop and think, hey, wait a minute. If I stop by ConOps, I can see if they have a keyboard that I can borrow, plug into it, then the keyboard would be activated and I could use that. I'm going to stop and think that. I think, oh crap, it's stalled. Let me try using the function keys to go and try to bring it back up. Now, see, the thing is, though the keyboard was powered off, the function keys were still working. The problem with the function keys, though, same bug affected the function keys, and so instead of just the keyboard having no power and thus not working, system froze. So, yeah, after the system froze, we were really foobar. And since we hadn't saved anything up until that point, which is why they say save early, save often, but it's hard when you're recording live, episode lost. So very tragic. Episode 79 was not the live episode that we had been dreaming of. No, it ended up being this episode, which, while a very good episode, not quite the same thing.
No, it's not even close to the same thing.
No. But DB3, the audience that we had was quite enthusiastic,
wouldn't you say? They were pretty cool.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, I mean, just a bit what we did with them, with the keychains and the shirts and the how-do-you-dos and the fan mail.
Did we ever tell about how we had an anime club here?
Yes. That was one of the last questions.
All right. Well, no, I was asking if we had told the listening audience.
Oh.
Because those keychains were from the anime club. And we bought some keychains a long time ago. We used them that night. And threw them at the crowd whenever NZ was slowing down. And I wasn't really active that night.
Actually, I was just throwing at him because I had something to throw at him.
Yeah, I wasn't really active that night, unfortunately.
No, you were, like, kind of passive, man.
I know. I feel
kind
bad
of
about
it. Kind of like you are now, almost. But,
yeah, shut up.
You seem kind of tired, I'm just saying.
Yeah, shut up.
So,
and what did we give the t-shirts away for? Questions.
Yeah, during the fan mail section, we would have people ask questions about us and the show and how we put it all together, and if you asked a question, you got a t-shirt.
And we found out which design was the coolest.
Which was that?
The one with Bandy.
Oh, the official Charles Park one?
Yeah.
Or
the one that was a little faded, the one you...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
So after that, after we lost the episode, though, the audience was great. We all had a rollicking good time. But after that, our spirits were really kind of dampened. But, like I said, we did manage to go, and one of the guys said to us, oh, hey, meet me here, and I'll buy your CD, and he bought a CD off of us, so that was cool.
Yeah.
But we had a bunch of extra CDs left over for, you know, kicked out of the room reasons. But after that, our spirits were dampened, so we really didn't go to anything else.
There wasn't really anything else to go to.
Oh, that's true. Well, there was Jan Scott Fraser's Walking to Japan, but somebody was a stink bug.
Hey, you didn't go to the yoga either.
I'm talking about the yoga. That'd be lame. But hearing
I figured Z guy handled enough of the Walking to Japan last time.
I suppose so. Then again, if the room they're making sure you're 21 or older, I worry about what may have transpired within. All right, BB3, I felt I've talked enough for the moment. You start covering Saturday.
Saturday we started our interviews. While Enzy did the interviews, we didn't get there till what time? 10? 11? Probably about 11.
Well, since the Terry Savage interview was at 11:30 according to this, that means that we were probably there about 11.
Yeah, there wasn't much to tell you about that. I did get to go watch the music video contest entries. They were cool. I really enjoyed them.
Better than what we usually download, or?
Yeah, there were some. Some of them weren't that great.
Yeah.
Like the one, there was one that a guy, I don't want to tell because he might listen, but a guy from Anime Music Video did one, and it was all right.
Basically, it was technically competent, but it just didn't have the spirit it needed.
Yeah, like, it just didn't impress me that much. But there were a lot of cool ones.
Yeah.
A lot of ones I really did enjoy. So that was cool. That was cool.
Yeah, let me take a look at that.
I wanted to go to the bootleg channel, but I was at the music videos. Check that
out. Hopefully they weren't selling bootlegs.
No, they're telling you how you could find out about them, about how which ones are bootlegs. So when you order them, you don't get the bootlegs.
Yeah, thankfully experience has taught me that. I hate bootlegs. It really irks me that people are... Okay. DB3, do the warning, because the rant's coming up here.
All right, guys, hold on to your seats. Angie's going to go on a rant. That means we may be staying here for a while. I'll cut it short after about 5 minutes,
Look at the schedule of events on Saturday and look at what you would have liked to have gone and what you did. Compose your thoughts, because this might be a while.
Alright.
Okay. Here's my problem. Now, first of all, I got enough of a problem with Hong Kong and Taiwan making bootlegs of other people's hard-earned work. Okay? Because these people are going and they're selling for like $5 or less in bulk to all of these companies around the world who in turn go around and resell these. Okay? So I got a big enough deal with people, consumers I mean, they go and they buy these bootlegs, full well knowing they're bootlegs, but buying them because they're cheaper. I've got a big problem with that sort of attitude, but one fish at a time. The problem I have is with the big fish. The freaking people that are running little anime shops in the stores, you know, in the malls and whatnot. They've got their little stores. And instead of going, okay, what people want is the officially licensed anime merchandise from both domestic and abroad. Let's go and get that and sell that. No. They go, you know what? We can sell a lot more if we go and we buy the cheap bootleg stuff from Sonmei or Ever Anime or whatever the hell. And so they go and they buy up all of these. And the problem is that then people buying from them that are less experienced don't know that they're bootlegs. So they start buying these, giving like, we'll say, $30 over to these companies who are making basically $25 a box set. And the original creators are getting none of the money for this. And I've confronted a few of these businesses before about their practices, and they say, oh, well, nobody's willing to go and pay the money for the officially licensed Japanese crap. And I cry bullcrap on this, because DB3 can attest here, the official Japanese-made merchandise is of higher quality, yeah, both in the materials and the quality of the product itself, and it includes lots of really cool little extras. People are more than willing to pay for that, because if you like anime, well, you're already used to spending a lot of money. It's like they go and they sell all these bootlegs from Hong Kong, Taiwan, you name it. But then they go and they sell domestically licensed stuff, and it's like, what? So it's this double standard. It's okay for one or not the other. You're not going to be selling CDRs and DVDRs because the FBI will come and crack down on you if you're selling that stuff from, you know, the licensed people here in America, but it's okay if you're selling the unlicensed stuff from abroad. Oh, that's just fine.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to go and get the most money for the least effort while staying within the gray legal boundaries of international trade. And that really irks me. They're like, oh, we won't sell these bootlegs of the domestic stuff because then we'll get jailed. Eh, but we'll buy this stuff from Taiwan and China and that'll be just wonderful. Oh, Taipei, where did you go wrong? When you didn't sign the international copyright agreement, that's why.
All right. Thanks for that little rant, NZ. But like you said, let's go back to what I planned to do. During that time, NZ did a great interview with Carrie Savage.
Very nice one.
That I missed. But after the anime music videos, we also got to do some with Monica Rial and Deborah Bai.
Yep.
And I made those. And I'll let NZ tell... Oh, he just talked. They're really good interviews. You can listen to them in the upcoming weeks.
Yes, we'll be featuring segments of each interview on several shows. Instead of just having a straight half hour of interview, we're going to break it up to about probably 10 or 15 minute segments on shows.
Unfortunately, with the first interview with Carrie Savage, there were problems. So, yeah.
Thankfully, she was gracious enough to go and grant us a second interview session to make up for that.
And since she... Let me tell you about her graciousness, all right? She had a panel called Around the World with Carrie Savage, which I wanted to go to. But she had problems with that. Carrie Savage is a very generous person. She goes around to third world countries and helps out. All right? I don't want to spoil a lot for you because you'll find a lot of it out in the interview we did with her. But I was disappointed.
Which unfortunately was briefer than the original, but...
Yeah. Which I was sort of disappointed when I didn't get to go to it because of technical problems that they had. But more than less than that, the only other thing they had that night was the cosplay contest.
That lasted a long time.
Yes, it did.
Well, let me go and interrupt before we start talking about the, what was it, like 3 hour long cosplay contest?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so I'm going to list the panels that I wanted to go to. Like I said, there wasn't really anything Friday except the Awesome Ace Radio panel, which was originally scheduled for Saturday. So it's a good thing that we were there because, well, I like to think we had more people in attendance than the Oi Yaoi panel. Okay, so what I wanted to go, to the Walking to Japan, if, you know, it would have been decent. Probably it wouldn't have been until I would have left. But, and then there was Living in Japan, which was the next day, which I'm sure was different. The Colorado blah, blah, blah dating game one would have been fun to go to.
Yeah.
But we got there a little too late because we had to get to the interview. I wanted to go to the Shinto panel, very interesting, learning about other people's religions. Plus, it's featured a lot in anime, so that helps you a bit with that. The model take, make and take would have been nice to participate in, but I didn't really have time to be sitting around painting for most of the convention, unfortunately. Studio Capsule, of course, very talented. Wasn't that Robert De Jesus?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's right. And unfortunately... Mr. DeJesus wasn't able to attend, but Mrs. DeJesus was. Problem was, is that he was scheduled for lots of panels, and nobody at the convention stopped to think about him not being there, and so the panels were still scheduled, but they didn't have anybody come in and go and do anything. So there were unhappy people sitting in there for 2 hours. Yeah, the end. I wanted to go to Writing Your Worst in the Ninjutsu's panels, but that would have been cool, and of course the music video contest, DB3 attended, and of course the Japanese guests, Tadano and Matsushita. The airbrush anime thing was basically just more model stuff. I kind of wanted to get some of that artistic stuff in, because it's fun, you know, and it's not something I would normally do. Shell painting, that's something I kept trying to go to over and over, but never managed to do, and then when I finally did, they were closing up and I had no money. Yeah, that's good. That's funny, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Okay, and yeah, so let's talk a bit about the cosplay costume contest. There's actually two contests wrapped into one. One was just displaying the costumes and one was doing the skits. The costume contest part was for costumes and cosplay, where they were doing skits. DB3, if you would.
Well, I was a little late to the actual costume, but the costumes I saw, especially for the masterwork, there were some really good costumes. Like,
yeah, the costume contest was broken up into three different divisions: children's, general, and masters, which were people that have won awards in the past.
And like, there were some that took over 1,000 hours to work on. Like, they were amazing. You should go to the
Artist Alley.
Artist Alley. Check those out.
Uh-huh, the convention photos.
You'll find them. You'll love them. Tell your friends about them.
Yeah, there's some really impressive stuff there. The thing is that they gave out awards, of course, for the
yeah.
And each judge was allowed to give out a personal award from that judge to the winner. And then there was the audience picks and then the overall winners. And so there were only three entries in the kids' division. And so they all won. So kids, if you're interested in cosplay, just enter and you'll win in most situations. Cause, you know.
Yeah.
Then in general, there was, let's see. It was just funny because the judges, which were the guests of honor,
yeah.
They gave out, like, it seemed that the same costumes got dozens and dozens of awards, and yet other people's costumes didn't get any, even though they might have been technically more excellent.
Yeah.
Such as that one, what was she cosplaying as with the white coat?
I couldn't tell you.
Anyways, it was just magnificent because she had sewn, what was it, 1,000 or 10,000? I think she sewed 10,000 individual sequins onto this coat. And it was just massively impressive. It was a very fine coat, like actual clothes you would wear, not just some slapped-together costume.
Yeah.
You know? Very impressive. But, of course, only certain people could win. And some of the notable ones were the Countess Carmella one. That won a lot of awards. Girl dressed up as the Countess from Vampire Hunter D: Bloodlust, and her costume literally reached from one edge of the stage to the other. There was Yuki and Kyo in their animal-like forms from Fruits Basket. That won a lot.
Yeah.
The Predator costume, that won. The audience loved the Gurr costume.
I don't know why.
I don't understand people's obsession with Gurr.
No.
And there's just a lot of really great costumes. You know, you had video games, you had anime. There was even a traditional Japanese costume contest portion, but there was only one entry, so it was no real contest. But she did deserve to win, even if there
yeah.
was competition.
It was
had
weird.
This really nice Hello Kitty kimono, this bamboo blue umbrella. It was pretty good.
It was worth it.
But. Okay. I want to give respect out, shout out some respect to the NDK folk, because they made that cosplay contest just fly by. They were tallying the results and everything in real time, having the judges go and score each one, so that they could tally it up instantly. And so there was more or less no waiting in between, the costumes being shown off and the awards being awarded. And that's pretty impressive.
Props to NDK. You guys are the best.
Well,
Cross counters.
Okay.
Cross counters.
And we got a lot of good pictures in there. So, like DB3 said, stop by the Artist Alley. And then at the end, they were clearing everybody out. People could take pictures, you know, some of the costumes. We took a few more. I took so many the first day that by the end of the cosplay contest, I was more or less burnt out on taking pictures of cosplayers. I just wanted to do things, you know. Because covering an anime convention with press is kind of a downer. So you travel all this way, and you get to do some exclusive things press only gets to do, like the press seats, you know,
yeah.
which are, like, right up front. You get to go and interview the guests of honor, so it's really great honor. But you miss out on all the panels, and that's the catch-22, is you can only pick one or the other.
It's true.
Okay, so let's wrap up Saturday a bit. Well, do you want to mention anything else about what else happened Saturday, DB3? Or
I got to catch some more anime.
Oh, what did you see that day?
I think I watched Strawberry Age.
Ah.
That was a good show.
I stopped by the art room. Did you ever get a chance to stop in there? And for those not in the know, the art room is where amateur artists, you know, not professional anime people, they go and they show off their work. It doesn't have to be amateur necessarily, but,
yeah.
you know, non-official art. And there was some really impressive paintings,
like that one that's on the wall
drawings.
Over here.
Oh, yes. I'm rather proud of that, but you're jumping ahead in the story there, DB3. So anyways, I stopped by there, and I had to pick up some souvenirs, of course, and Well, I'm a weak person, people. I had to go and place some bids on some of the art pieces myself. Thing was, that kind of sucked is that it had a, I don't know auction terms, but basically you could go up to a piece, and if it was for sale, would have a buy it now price where you could just buy it instantly, or it had a starting bid price, and you could, you know, bid that, and then another person could come along and outbid you. Problem was, anything that got three bids or more, they were going to auction off the next day in a live auction, and it's like, well, if you're only going to allow two bids before it goes to auction, then what's the sense of, you know, the first place? So I think they should have said four bids or more, then it would have gone to auction block, you know. Especially since the auction block was only listed for, like, I think an hour or something, so... All right, but it was funny. There was a late-night sketch room, which was a nice place for artists to relax. Karaoke. Karaoke, for whatever reason, was packed to the hilt every night. Did you see that, TV?
I did. Like, I couldn't believe it. I didn't think that many people would go to karaoke.
I know. It just blows my mind. I mean, they had both, you know, English and Japanese songs, and you just think to yourself, karaoke, you know, karaoke, that's what lame it is. And then you go there, and literally, there wasn't even standing room. The rooms were packed to the hilt with people, and the heat was immense. I would not have stayed in those rooms if I had stayed in there, you know. But what I thought was hilarious is that night, they had something called Johnny's Slumber Party, which, do you recall what that was?
I don't.
Basically, a bunch of people getting together and just having, you know, overnight fun. But it was funny, because there was another panel there, which... was it Carrie Savage that was part of that, or was that Monica Rial?
They were both there.
Oh, they were? Okay, so there was...
I don't know how I know, though.
That's a good point, DVC. I might have to ask you about that in a moment. But there was a panel called How to Talk to Girls. And apparently you just put a kink in your elbow over there, my friend. Anyways, this panel was basically Oh, how did they phrase it, our guests of honor?
Hey, let me see this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
More or less, they felt bad because we anime lovers are good-hearted, kind people, more or less. And, but unfortunately, generally, not in all cases, just generally, socially inept. I think DB3 can attest to this with some of the people that we've met there, especially the glompers. Oh, the glompers. Oh, the glompers. I don't care to speak of that, but I know we will because it's good radio. But anyways, I didn't get to go to this panel. I wanted to because it sounded, you know, I hate it when I try to describe something, but I can't think of the words. You know when you're at something and it's not funny where you're laughing out loud, but you're just grinning from cheek to cheek? That's exactly why I wanted to go to that How to Talk to Girls, because I was thinking just all these guys in there with these girls, so they're nervous enough about, and then the girls are telling them how to approach them, right?
It was, go ahead, keep going.
No, go ahead.
I was just
going
to tell you how it was in there.
So I go to stop by this, because what else? I was like...
There's nothing else that night.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that was basically after everything else, and so I wanted to stop by there, and I do... The contents of the room have spilled out into the hallway.
Really?
There was a ton of people at that panel. It was just funny because there was like this line going outside of the room and all the seats were taken, but people had formed a semicircle around the outside of the room because they wanted to listen in on these, you know, tips and whatnot. And, you know, we laugh, you know, we smirk, but you gotta admire their gusto for having enough, you know, just courage to go there, and, you know, people might laugh at them, but it takes some courage to go there to go and admit, you know, you have a bit of a social problem, you know, and, you know, you want to go listen in and learn how to go and fine-tune your approach. This is a great screensaver we're watching, by the way, but that has nothing to do with anything. DB3, you were going to say something about this.
I ended up going for a little bit because I was watching Saber Marionette J. Started watching Fruits Basket.
That was so popular back in the day, Marionette J.
But I started falling asleep during Fruits Basket, and I was like, oh boy, if I don't start moving around...
Well, it can be slow.
If I don't start moving around, I might fall asleep. So I looked at the list, and I was like, oh, this should be good for a good laugh. I go in there, and it was a good laugh. There are all these guys trying to tell each other their points of view and good points to, good ways to pick up girls, and it's just funny seeing some of the people talking about saying, that's dumb. Don't do that. That's not a good idea to do that sort of thing. Like, there were like one or two good things. I didn't stay very long. Like, I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm smart enough.
So more or less, you wanted to go there for, you know, pardon my French, shits and giggles. And you were like, oh, this might be good for a lark, but the lamers were too lame for you to stay?
They were too lame for me. Like, I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, if you have to be told to do some of these things, it's almost not worth your time.
Well, the bad part is, from your description, I take it that they were trying to give advice to people when they themselves needed the advice.
Well, that's how it sounded the little bit I was there. Like, I was just like, oh my. And like, I could almost see it in some of the people's faces that were telling the, like, some of the guests, they were just like, from what I saw, it was like they're getting discouraged at it. They're like, you guys are crazy. You don't know how to do it.
It's a hopeless uphill battle.
Yeah.
Okay, well, time for the NZ17 slant. Sorry. Okay, first of all, guys, main problem is, you're not thinking of these girls as ladies, okay? First of all, girls don't appreciate being called girls when you're romantically interested. They prefer ladies. But, like, this is the, you know, pot talking to the kettle here. But disregard this fact. First of all, guys' main problem, they're not thinking of the ladies as people. They're thinking of the ladies as in, like, how would you phrase it, DV3?
Items. Anime.
Pets, anime. Basically, a way to satisfy their interests, if you will. But you got to think of people as people or it'll never work. And ladies, here's your problem, okay? Guys don't like it when you're all, how to put it, enthusiastic and showing off all the goods, okay? We don't... It creeps us out when you're grabbing onto people and hanging onto them and flirting around.
Well, there's some guys that like that.
Some guys like that. I find it creepy and scary, and it makes me want to run.
Depends on how good looking the girl is for me.
But honestly, DV3, if some girl's promiscuous in that sort of sense, you know,
if I didn't know her,
off the goods,
I'd probably get scared and like.
I'm just saying, if you end up in a relationship with someone like that, who's to say she's not going to be doing the same with other people?
Yeah.
Like I said, pot calling kettle black, but that's my general advice. So that panel really was that ridiculous, huh?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Alright, well, what do we got on Sunday that we did, DB3?
Sunday, we did a lot of interviews.
Yeah, let me see that list real quick.
Okay, we had the video game Jeopardy. I got to catch the last little bit of that. Final question was, can you name all the original ghosts in Pac-Man? I could name three of them. I couldn't name the fourth. Then there was the Anime Family Feud. They were asking
you. Yeah, your description there of the Jeopardy just kind of fizzled out there at the end.
Well, because I was only there for the last question, so it was sort of...
Right. But, okay, so the Feud?
The Feud, they were asking... Like, they actually interviewed people. Like, here's one of the questions. When you hear the word... When someone asks you, what's an old anime, what would you say? Of course, they got Astro Boy. It was the number one pick. I would have said, like, Speed Racer, or Giant Robo.
Gigantor.
Yeah. None of those are on there. Like...
Kimba.
Nothing. Like, they had Sailor Moon. I can't remember. Like, there are things like...
Sailor
what?
Moon, that's like 10 years old, my goodness.
Yeah, you're like, what? What? That's not old. I think Evangelion was on there. Like, it wasn't old stuff. Like
Evangelion, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it is 10 years old, but still... That's funny. Okay, so...
And about that time, I went and we started doing some of the reviews.
Yeah, I really wish I could have gotten to go to the Ultimate Martial Arts demo. That sounded rather interesting. Let's see. Didn't want to stop by the Wigs ones. It would have been nice to go to Doug Smith's art panel, who's one of the people that we interviewed. He's both an artist and a voice actor. Animation Principles, that would have been sweet to go to. Not as cool as if we got to see the geishas.
That would have been really cool.
That would have been pretty awesome. And I don't know what Anime Friendships was about, but I suppose I should read the con book. Unfortunately, you look at the con book, there's all these really great panels planned,
And then it happened.
I know. That just sucked. I wanted to go to the old timers anime panel. DB3, was I the only one to feel old at NDK?
I felt, like, yeah.
I mean,
I understand.
I felt old going around because everybody was, we'll say between 12 and 16 seemed to be about average.
Yeah.
And I felt so old because, like, there's all these kids going around and they're talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! And Shaman King and all these shows they show on Saturday morning. And it's like I'm going, I don't even remember Saturdays having mornings. That's how long it's been since I've been up that early, you know. And they're just into all these new shows and have no ideas of shows that even came out 5 years back, you know.
That's
it's like,
bad.
If it's not on TV, they don't know of it. And here we are in our 20s, and there's all these kids, you know. And of course, when I started going to
Mentioning we're in our 20s, we didn't mention today's MZ's birthday. Happy birthday, MZ!
You know, I didn't think of that, but yes, today is my birthday, and I am 23 years old. So, yes, thank you, DB3, and anybody that wants to send in happy birthday well wishes through the fan mail can feel free to do so, and anybody that wishes to send me a birthday present can make all payments out to donations at mz17.com through PayPal. And honestly, we're coming up to site renewal time, so I need about $120, or at least $100. I really need to look into that, because I think it's November, and that's next month. Okay, so, and I'm single, ladies. Okay, that's not helping anyone. Okay, so where were we before DB3? Let's see, geishas.
Yoga.
You know, hooked up with a geisha, that'd be kind of cool. Why were we... Oh, yeah, because we were feeling old, that's why. And, yeah, so anyways, it made me take solace, though, when talking to our wonderful press director, Matt Porter, and him talking about anime that he was watching in the 70s and 80s, and it made me go, ah, well, I know that I can stay in this for the long run if guys that were in it during the Golden Age are still in it, you know?
Yeah.
All right, but... Yeah.
But I was sad because there was the music videos award where they actually awarded for the best. I didn't get to go to that. I did get to go to the improv with Deb Ribai.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. I was expecting more activities because I did it at school. But as life happens, she was teaching us how to do improv. She was showing us as if we had never done it before. So all the warm-up activities we did, I can appreciate that and I understand why she did them. And
but not in-depth enough?
Yeah, yet. Like... I learned more because it's been a while since I've done it, and it was sort of refreshing to do just to do it again. So I appreciate that, but I am upset that I missed the music awards.
Well, from what I hear, you couldn't take pictures in there anyway, so that kind of takes away the thrill. And let's see, like DB3 said, most of this time I was doing interviews, or in the case of Lido and Yoshida, sitting around for an hour waiting for them to show.
Trish Lido showed up, didn't he?
No. Trish Lido never showed up.
Oh, yeah, Trish.
And her husband never showed up.
That's right.
It seems basically the NDK people gave out schedules to all the guests of honor saying, you need to be here to do this, but then, and about half of them mustn't have read it or something, or some sort of communication breakdown.
Yeah, something happened.
Because we ended up getting stood up for Scott McCoy's interview, Lado's interview, and Yoshida's interview, which is kind of disappointing. But on the plus side, opened up time for us to do a second interview with...
Carrie Savage.
Savage, yes. Okay, so I was doing that. Anything else you happened to go to during that time? Like the vocal musings?
No, because Sunday I was with you with most of the interviews.
Okay. I wanted to go to the Japanese craps.
I did go to Symphonic Anime Orchestra.
Well, let me mention this funny story real quick. I go to the Vocal Musings panel, which is all the voice actors just relaying stories and, you know, talking about their experiences. And so when I go there, it's at the tail end of things because I'd been waiting to interview Lado and her husband. They weren't there. And so I went, all right, well, I got a little free time before I have the Swell and Smith interview at 3. So I end up talking to these big video game heads that were at the one of the info desks. And mad props out to the con ops people and the info desk people, very helpful people. I ended up BSing with them for a bit and missing out all of the vocal musings panel. And so I go in there at the tail end, so I guess I really didn't miss all of it, but you know. And so I'm sitting there listening to them, and then the panel's over, and I think, wait a minute, interview at 3 o'clock, two guys coming, oh man! So I start running towards the other end of the convention, toting my bag behind me with all the, well, I guess the bag was up in the room at the time, and I'm just hauling to get to the other end, thinking, oh man, I don't want to not be there and have them get there, and then them leave, because I've had so many people stand me up, you know, I don't want to miss out. Plus, I think earlier that day, didn't I show up late for an interview?
No, we were there on time.
Oh, you were there doing the one interview, because I had to go. I made sure to go back to the art show so I could place some last-minute bids, because I didn't want to lose out on some of the art that I had been outbid on.
Yeah.
So. Which, there was some awesome art there, really. I wish I would have had twice as much money as I had, not only for the dealer's room, which I finally hit up 1 hour before they closed on Sunday on the last day of the con, but because there was just great art there.
There was some way good art.
I mean, DB3, would you agree that you would have bought at least one piece of art from there if you had had more?
I would have. I know. I'm sort of glad I didn't go with more money than I did. Because I'd be even more broke than I am.
Yeah, yeah, either way you leave broke, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about the Symphonic Anime Orchestra and their first ever public appearance.
The Symphonic Anime Orchestra is a group of kids that got together from all across Colorado. The conductor went around the country, got written permission to use the anime music, and there are a lot of video game music from Final Fantasy and such. She sent the parts out to all the different members. They all practiced individually. They didn't actually practice as a real orchestra until Saturday night. It was the first time they actually practiced. And I think for only practicing that much, they pulled it off fabulously. Like, I didn't think, like, they could have done better, like, the songs they picked. Like, there wasn't any, like, I really recognized. They were all mostly from video games or something that I hadn't played. But what they did play, I think they played it really well. It went really smoothly. That was my take on it.
You know, just to interrupt real quick, seriously, people, I know most people out there run Windows, but really, grab a live Linux CD and boot your computer off of there just to check out the screensavers.
Yeah.
They're awesome. I mean, we're watching this one right now, and it's drawing out, like, it started out with all these big plains and fields, and now it's evolved into, like, modern city layout and whatnot. It's like watching Tokyo rise up or something. It really looks like a great aerial view, seriously. But okay, so at that point, my interviews were over. DB3 went to the orchestra for me and took some pictures. I wanted to check out that Women in Anime panel. I think that was with the female voice actresses,
yeah.
Or was that about female anime characters?
Ooh, it's a good question.
Either way, would have wanted to go there. The Inuyasha with T. Yoshida panel would have been nice, but then again, it would have been nice to talk to Yoshida at all. And instead, I ended up going to the latter half of the, because our interview went a bit long, and I stopped off at the dealer's room, because when it was 4 o'clock and the dealer's room's closing at 5 o'clock and I haven't been to the dealer's room, oh, you bet I'm going to hit it up. Because I did not go over 300 miles not to get some good deals at the dealer's room. I ended up snagging three brand new anime music CDs, three for $40, good deal.
Yeah.
Only problem, of course, is that it's not as good deal as you could get online, but you factor in shipping, you know, it's kind of sketchy. But that was a good deal. I got to meet Emily DeJesus there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we had been misinformed, and we thought that the DeJesus's had a table out in, of all places, crazy thought time, the artist alley, but believe it or not, they were in the dealer's room. And so
no
I
one ever knew where they
trying
were.
To find them, you
yeah.
know. And actually, on the last day of the con, I did see Jan Scott Fraser, or previously known J. Scott Fraser, at his booth in the artist alley, her booth, whatever, and lots of people there, surprisingly. And so I didn't really get a chance to stop by. You know, if it was slow, no one was there or whatnot, I would have. But see, Tokyo's now about a population of several thousand now.
Yeah.
let's see. So yeah, I got to ask some questions of Matsushita. And since we didn't really inform them of this earlier, the Japanese guests were actually, they worked on Revolutionary Girl Utena. They worked on Sailor Moon. They were working on a new origami show.
Are we supposed to talk about that?
It's okay.
Okay.
They were working on some sort of new origami anime show. Probably won't be here for another 2 years, but still it's nice to know what they were up to.
Yeah. It's top secret, and they were working on it until, like, right until the plane took off. Like,
more or less, yeah. I tell you, those animators in Japan just work themselves to the bone. It's seriously ridiculous. It's like the video game programmers over here, you know?
Yeah.
It's just crazy. So then, did you happen to stop by where they were holding the Anime Olympics?
Alright, I tried to get into Anime Olympics, but it was so packed, like, you could not get another person in there, and it was overflowing into the hallway. It was ridiculous, like, I couldn't even see in there.
Yes, according to one of the con directors at the closing ceremony, she mentioned that the Anime Olympics, which is just basically her coming up with a bunch of outrageous challenges and whatnot that might be slightly related to anime.
Yeah.
For the participants to perform. They had some good prizes from what I heard. And anyways, it was so packed. Not only was the room full, not only was it standing room only capacity, because they were in one of the smaller rooms at the convention.
Yeah.
It was so packed that it actually filled all the way, not only down the hallway, down the stairwell. Is how crazy.
I didn't see it get that full.
That's how full she was saying it got.
Really?
Well, not down to the stairwell, but at least to the stairwell.
It was full.
So that was crazy. So instead of going over to the Anime Olympics or whatever, I was, of course, with Matsushita. 5 o'clock rolls around. They had this panel on Japanese studies, learning Japanese. I was going to attend that, but there was a lot of people going in there. I didn't feel like being around a lot of people after all the, you know, crap we'd already done. And so I went over to a 24-hour comic challenge, which was this crazy international competition where it's open to more or less anyone. And they enter it, and they're like a cartoonist, as in comics, you know. And they have 24 hours to make a 24-page comic, including cover. And it's just madness. Sincerely, it was just madness. Some of the crap that these people, you know, put themselves through for this challenge. Some of the comics were lame. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. They were lame. But some of them were pretty cool, and you got to appreciate the effort put in by these people, at the very least. And so it was an interesting panel, but unfortunately I was so exhausted from, you know, getting up, going to the con, and basically working all day. Because you really want to get down to it. It wasn't so much a leisure trip for us as it was a lot of work. And so I was just nodding off for most of this. And thankfully, DB3 brought me a drink, and I became a bit more refreshed. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm sketchy on the details. And so then we finally got to the end of the con, the closing ceremonies. DB3... I'm really thirsty. Would you cover this for, you know, the closing ceremonies, and I'll just chirp in now and again?
All right. As you all know, there are some big problems down in Louisiana and Texas with the hurricanes. So to help out, a lot of the guests gave out things, like signed things and stuff to shows they were in so they could raffle out or auction.
Yeah.
And they had a big poster board saying, telling everything that would be on it, all the cool prizes, and they're like, you could win this in the raffle or auction.
Yeah, full box sets and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, so NZ and I both...
limited edition art.
Both. I put about $15, NZ put about $20 in to get raffle tickets.
Should have used it in the dealer's room.
But it turns out, all the items that they raffled were these little... Well, I can't say they were bad items, because they were signed, and you could make some money.
Some were.
Yeah. No, all of the... They weren't? Oh.
No, just some of the stuff was signed.
Well, a lot of the... There was a lot of little items that were too fabulous for the raffle, I'm sad to say. And if I had known that, I probably would have saved my money and maybe tried to bid on something. Cause
more or less, before the closing ceremonies, they made this big deal about these fabulous things that you could get from the raffle. And then all they raffled off was the cheap, dinky little plastic stuff. And all the really good stuff was the open auction.
Yeah.
And so it really disillusioned me on the whole buying tickets sort of thing. Because if you actually had a chance to get some of the good stuff, that'd be one thing to go and spend all this money. But they were just giving out, you know, the cheap dinky prizes like, ooh, here's a cell phone strap. And, oh, look at this. We have non-usable phone cards. And, just cheap stuff.
Yeah. And the auction went on and on. They switched back and forth between the auction and the raffle, and yeah,
They really should have just went first the auction, then the raffle, then the rest of the closing ceremonies. But
there were some parts of the cool of the auction, like there was this beautiful kimono that went for an amazingly amount.
$1,100.
There was the Sailor Moon picture on the official paper with the official stamp that went for $500. I'm sad to say we only went for $500, but yeah.
All in all, they garnered about $4,000 or $5,000.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They were slightly below $5,000, like they were $4,400. And so the very generous George, who's been to every NDK, said he'd contribute the rest to make it an even $5,000. So, God, but then those closing ceremonies go on forever? It's like this recap just goes on forever.
Yeah. By the time the closing ceremonies are there...
The closing ceremonies were scheduled for 1 hour, and they ended up going for 2.5 hours.
Yeah. And in fact, is all the guests, almost 90% of the guests had already left. Like, they were gone.
Yeah, so at the closing ceremonies, when they, saying goodbye, all the guests are saying goodbye to all the attendees, it's like 5 people?
Yeah.
At most? Yeah, so when they finally, after the art auction and all that crap, got to the closing ceremony...
We're not making fun of the guests of the ceremony. We understand how they have lives. It's
right, right.
Sort of,
when they finally got to the end, it was like, okay, the hotel's kicking us out, so let's wrap things up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was just kind of... kind of fell apart almost at the end. So they all said, okay, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Be sure to go and pre-order for next year now and only get in for $20 and so on and so forth. And so, that
was it.
We
never picked up the G-Guy's tag.
I know. I realized that on the ride back. You see, we had, of course, scheduled for DB3, G-Guy, and NZ17 to have gone to Nandetsu Con, but G-Guy did not go. And we were going to pick up his badge, and then... as we were leaving, I was remembering about the badge, and then I thought, everybody in there is packing up and leaving, and he didn't come with us, so too bad for him, because we're already on the road. So we didn't get his badge. But, DB3, would you give out mad props to Carrie Savage for her generous donations to that auction?
Carrie Savage is amazing. She went through a lot.
Carrie Savage is like the incarnation of Belle Dandy in real life.
That's a good way to put it. Like, she has such a big heart. Like, she's an amazing person. I give mad props out to her. She really wants to help people. She has one of those hearts that you're just like, wow, I wish I could be like that. More like her. She's...
very giving person. Yeah. Gave out at least $1,000 worth of stuff for the auction.
Yeah. Like, she got some people in
Adelaide. That's how much they were won for, not how much they cost.
But, like, she got people to sign all sorts of things. So it was...
Stupendous.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been a very long recap, very long news section.
Longest news section I've ever seen.
Yes. I didn't even put the news sound effect thing on it, but that's okay. Should we do a review?
Yeah, we can do a short review.
All right. We'll go do some reviews or something like that. And welcome new listeners to Acer Radio. This is how we do. Just go on forever.
This is a special episode of everything, so yeah.
Yeah, it was 3 days. Come on, we got to compress it down into 1 hour. Oh, I did get to see a raw anime on the last day of the con called Final Approach.
Yeah?
That was pretty good. Kind of crazy. It'll be nice to know what's actually happening when it finally comes out here. I basically got what it was, but, don't want to go off that.
Yeah.
Does it suck? Does it rock? Who knows? Anime review. Yeah, so, that was a really long recap, but we covered a lot.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And you'll be hearing the fruits of our labor across the next, you know, dozen episodes or so.
You will?
But, okay, we've got a bunch of stuff we need to re-review that we reviewed at the panel.
Yep.
That got obliterated, and stuff that we just watched recently as well. And we're going to do the shotgun stuff. We're already over an hour and 5 minutes into the show. So, let's not dilly-dally. DB3, please start the review with Full Metal Panic Volume 1.
Full Metal Panic Volume 1 starts off with a girl named Chidori interrogating secret, top-secret anti-terrorist group, guarding her against terrorist groups. She doesn't know. The main guy who's guarding her is named Sosuke. He's been in the military his whole life. He doesn't have person skills, so he's supposed to be a high school student. He doesn't know high school things. He'll walk into the girl's dressing room, trying to guard her. He'll follow her around. He more or less just is sort of a goober like that. Like, he doesn't understand proper things like that. But she thinks it's sort of cute, and she stands it. And the first couple episodes are like that. There's one point where he sees a classmate trying to... He went on a panty run, and he stopped him, and they both are sitting out there talking about Mecca and stuff. So that was funny. And she comes out and catches him out there, and like, they're like, ah! And then it ends with them getting trapped on an island by some terrorists. And that's how the first one ends, leaving you in a cliffhanger like, oh no, what's going to happen? How is he going to save the day? Go ahead.
Oh, no.
I was just going to say, I give this series a highly recommended, especially this first volume. I was laughing all the time. Like, it was really funny. I really liked it.
Now, you listen to both the sub, the Japanese dub and the English dub.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of those?
I preferred the English dub. I thought it was better synchronized with the flaps. I really liked it. I think the voices brought more character to it. Like, I really liked them. The Japanese, it was alright. It was decent. I'm not going to take away from it. But I think they could have done better.
Alright, and how was the animation real quick?
I liked it. It was really pretty. It was fluid, smooth. I liked the colors they used. It was really good.
And the music.
I really liked the music. The opening credits, closing. There were parts when they're getting in their mechas, they were fighting, it was really fast, and you're like, yes, this is cool. So it was really, really well done, too.
So highly recommended, eh?
Yes, very highly recommended.
Shotgun sound, please. Alright, so next up, let's see, the final volume of His and Her Circumstances, volume number 5. DV3 heard me go on about this one for quite a bit at NDK, but thankfully he gets to listen to me again. Aren't you thrilled, DV3?
Yes.
Okay, so, what did I end up giving that one? Was it a recommended or was it a neutral?
It was a neutral, I think.
Yeah. That's pretty bad for a series to go out on a neutral.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. Up until this point...
Shock and sell. We need to do it quick.
Okay. We're all familiar with the dark side of Studio Gainax.
Oh, it's...
Gainax was Gonzo. They're not good at budgeting. And so, when we come to the end of another great series, oh yes, once again... They overspent their budget, and the last it's so infuriating, because they started this storyline in the previous volume, and it just carries over this 14-day storyline. It's like they caught up to the manga, and so they had to completely, like, throw the brakes on the series and make it go slower. And it just goes on and on. You're thinking, oh, I'm going to finally see what happens with Arima, and, you know, I'm going to see what happens with Miyazawa, and, you know, will Asuba get his, you know, Maryland, and, you know, what about this new character that might be a love interest for, you know, our heroine, and all this stuff, and, you know, what's going to happen to her friends, and so on and so forth. I was so disappointed. Because what happens is it just says, oh, well, it turns out that even though this person hated this person, oh, it was just he did not realize at the time that it was love, and she did not know that she could love, and she loves him back, and this is just more of the circumstances of his and her. It's like, no, no, you don't end a series by just being like, it's not an ending, it's kind of like a thing saying, buy the manga if you want to know more. It's like, you horrible, horrible beasts. You know, I mean, you look at this Gainax, and they're horrible at this sort of thing. Horrible people. And it was a really great series up until this point, and I don't have a problem with them introducing new characters and all of this, but you need to feel some sort of closure. You know, some sort of, that's a good point to end things, or, you know,
yeah,
whatnot. I mean, I realize they're saying, you know, things just, you know, it doesn't stop, it just keeps going on with different people and their circumstances, but still, come on. So, yeah, I'm giving this one a neutral. It's just, I really wanted to at least give it a recommended, but the last episode was just like storyboard,
yeah,
not even dubbed over.
Really?
It was just the guy saying, oh, betrayal, heartbreak, sadness, redemption, and just these descriptive words, and practically no dubbing or animation. So,
that's too bad.
Yeah.
Considering how it started off. And it just slowly went down.
It's a great series in a sense, but in another sense, it can be very slow and dry.
As much as it's talked about on the web and stuff, would you agree with what people say about it and how it's such a good anime?
It's a great anime, but go in knowing that it's not always fast-paced, you know, that the drama can be extra heavy, and that, you know, in the end, it's not going to be
a fulfilling
final episode, but part of the reason, I think, is because you grow so attached to the characters, you know, plain, simple, and pure. Alright, so next up, BB3 is going to be covering Volume 4.
Volume 4.
Escaflowne. We're working our way up that ladder. I think the last episode on this disc was 19.
Yeah,
so
we're getting up there.
People are going to start dying. I just know it.
This volume was a really good volume. I really liked it. At the end of every episode, we were left wanting to watch the next one. Like, it just the way they did, you're like, oh man, what's next? What's coming? The only problem with it is, we haven't watched the first three in such a long time. Some of the people and how they were intertwined with each other, their relationships, so it got sort of foggy.
Well, you know who this character is and that character is and all this jazz, but the problem stems from the fact that, not who the characters are, but who they are in relationship to the other characters, because a lot of Escaflowne deals with a lot of royalty, and as a result, it can get kind of confusing with all of the marriages, and, you know, I have this sister, and this brother, and these children, and whatnot. So that got a little confusing in this volume.
But there was a lot of really good fight scenes between the different, oh, what are they called?
Guy Mellis.
There were some really cool fight scenes. Van has finally gotten really good control of his.
The dowsing technique that Hitomi had taught him earlier.
So it was, I can't say enough good things about this episode. I really enjoyed it.
At this point in the series, it starts to get pretty heavy on the drama, you know?
Yeah.
And it starts throwing in a lot of new stuff that's kind of, up until this point, kind of been subtle, but you've kind of had the feeling like, you know, everything isn't as it seems exactly on the surface. There's a bit more depth to things, and this is where they start revealing the hidden depth that's, you know, the past of these characters and things like that. So, pretty awesome, I think, this fourth episode was. It just had a really great story. Of course, the art style, very good, you know. It blends the simpler computer animations with some of the 3D effects at the time, along with the really great traditional, very detailed hand drawings, and of course, excellent music, you know.
Who can't love the music for Escaflowne?
Escaflowne has great music. So what are you going to give this fourth volume, starting to introduce the complications and everything?
I'm going to give this one highly recommended, just because of the way they left me every episode wanting more. I love that want. You're like, oh. I think it shows with a good company if they can keep you in this long and wanting more.
Yeah, it's true. After 19 episodes, they're doing something right.
Yeah.
So I'm also going to give this one a highly recommended. It can be a bit trying with all the titles and relationships with the royalties and the numerous kingdoms. and whatnot, but that's also one of the things that makes the series good, is because you can look at the art books or, you know, rewatch it or refer to the manga and whatnot if you need clarification on points, you know. So it's one of those things where you can watch it more than once to go and be like, oh, okay, I see this here and there. So yeah, highly recommended from both of us on that one. Shotgun, please. Oh. Alright, and so last, but I believe not least, we have a, what am I reviewing? Oh, yes. That's right. Volume 3 of Mice and Ikkaku. Very good show, and honestly, DB3, we need to start doing the show more often, or else we're going to review these poor people's ears off. Seriously. Mice and Ikkaku is a great series, though. I really enjoyed this. Of course, has Rumiko Takahashi's sort of art style, but unlike most of her other series, like Inuyasha's really action-focused, Ramna's really comedy-focused, but this one is, all of her series tend to have three elements to them. The action, the drama, and, well, you know, the action, the comedy, and the romance, which is, you know, drama, of course, comes with the romance. But this series, it has its comedic moments, but it focuses more on the drama, the love and the relationship of the romance. And they do a really great job of steadily, slowly, surely developing these characters' relationships with each other, and also Godai and, oh, great, now I forget her name. They really do a good job of slowly doing up the relationship between these two characters, and it's a really great show, it really is. In this volume, the first episode, I'm not going to be accurate on my episode numbers here, but this introduces a love rival for Godai for the hand of, not Kikyo, dang it, what's her name? Do you remember?
I don't.
Wait a minute. I have a... hand me that DVD over there, DV3. We
cheat sheet.
We can... Yes, we'll cheat sheet our way. Other side.
Other side.
I won't be underdone by my memory. Let's see. Now, go down, move. Building's attractive manager. Okay, maybe I will be undone. anyways, we'll just call her K. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
And so, let's see, Soichiro is the name of the dog, and her deceased husband, I can't remember. But anyways, it comes along really well. A love rival for Godai is introduced in the form of this tennis manager. She's upset at Godai, of course, for, in the previous volume, he had thought that everybody convinced him that he had gotten naked and done all these antics, when in fact he had just professed rather loudly his love for the manager, and so she's of course asking him if he really meant what he did, and so he thinks about the nakedness and possibly promiscuous activities, and he's like, no, I would never do that. She's like, you mean that was all a joke? He's like, yes, exactly. She's like, how can you joke by saying you love me? So she's of course upset at him and not talking with him at the beginning of this. And so then the resident suggests she goes and does tennis. Ichinose, the first resident, suggests she goes with her to do tennis and, you know, basically get off some steam. And and so she meets this ladies' man of a coach who wants to be with her because, well, one, he's a lady man, but two, because she's so resistive towards his advances, you know. She wants to just be friends, and he doesn't want to just be friends. And so this introduces him and his fear of dogs, which doesn't work out well since, not Kiyosuke, but whatever her name is, has a dog named Soichiro, named after her dead husband. So, unfortunately, the guy, if he wants the girl, has to be get past the dog, and he's definitely afraid of dogs because of childhood incident with one, which works out well for our hero Godai, because that means he doesn't come around Mice and Ikkaku too much. So there's this funny episode where they all go to the beach together, right? The manager, her niece, the son of Ichinose, the large female resident, and Godai, they all go to the beach, and Soichiro went with them, and the guy didn't know this at first, and so he's trying to drive while deathly petrified of this dog and swerving all over the road and narrowly avoiding cars and whatnot. And so they stop, and he says to Godai, he says, "Godai, you must be my friend. You must help me out here. I'm definitely afraid of this dog. Do you know how to drive?" And Godai, of course, he goes, "I know how to drive a bicycle." He goes, "Great." And so he doesn't have him to drive the car, so he drives the rest of the way to the beach. And then, of course, they have a fun time at the beach and whatnot. And they all decide to go play in the water and whatnot, and take Soichiro with them. Well, the dog gets away from them and goes back to the beach where the tennis coach was. Of course, he stayed there so he would be away from the dog. And so the dog comes back, and everybody doesn't know the dog's there. So he's, like, tortured by this dog. They won't leave him alone because the dog's just attached to him, right? And so anyways, it's a pretty funny episode. They all end up going out on a boat at this one point, and so Ichiro had been on a raft and it ended up being washed out to sea, and so Godai was the hero and whatnot. And oh man, I so wish I could remember her name, you know. Anyways, his love interest ends up going and thinking that he's filling her up while they're in the water, right? Because there's these jellyfish, and they keep on going by. And so she thinks that it's him going and filling her up, even though that they're pretty far apart. And so, in the end, realizes that, there you go, Kyoko. Kyoko realizes that he wasn't doing this, and he realizes that what she meant, what she's like, "Oh no, it's, you know, whatnot." She's like, "I may be a widow, but that doesn't mean," it's like, "Oh well, I guess if you think I'm that sort of guy, then never mind." And he's like swaying back, and she feels all bad. So it's this whole back and forth. It's like one person would get their feelings hurt, or the other person would get their feelings hurt, and so it's about them, you know, slowly building up their relationship and clearing out misunderstandings. Then there's the fourth episode.
We need to make it quick. Remember Shotgun?
Yeah, Shotgun Die. where Ichinose, the son, actually has this big old crush on Kyoko's niece. And so the episode deals with they all go out to town to get groceries, and both the boy and Godai are giving each other these big smiles, like, "Yeah, man, we're such a girl, yeah." So it was a pretty good episode. Then it all wraps up with the last episode, what happened in that last episode? Dang. That's right. So it's finally Kyoko's turn to get jealous. Godai, who had been working various delivery boy jobs on his bike, happens to run across this co-worker from his previous job, and Kyoko he had seen going out with the tennis coach. And so he's like, "Oh great, I got these really expensive tickets to go to this movie, and now she's with this guy, and so I can't go. They're going to this concert." And so he doesn't ask her, and so he calls up his friend on a payphone, and his co-worker happens to be there waiting for something, and overhears this, and she says, "Well, hey there, Godai," and he's like, "Oh, hey," and then he asks what he had tickets to, because she overheard him, and he's like, "Oh, it's to this movie," and she's like, "Oh, wow, I really want to go, but I can't really afford to go, you know, and it looks like a really great movie," so he goes, you know, if she wants to go, you know, I can't get my friend to go, because he wanted his friend to pay for his own ticket, you see, and so he goes, "Well, would you like to go?" And she's like, "Yeah, sure, that sounds great, you know." And then she's like, "Oh, you know, I kind of feel like I sucked you into it," or something. He's like, "Oh, no, you know, that's fine. I I just had this extra ticket, so, you know." And so she's, you know, all, like, attached on his arm and whatnot. And they happen to be walking along back towards, you know, the train station, and the car, the tennis coach's car, had broken down. And so he's like, let's go this way instead. She's like, but why? The train station's just down there. And he goes, oh, well, you know, I just thought it would be better to take the long route. And then all of a sudden the tennis coach called out to him, oh, hey there, go. And so he's like, oh, hey, everybody. So Kyoko sees him with this girl, and he's the guy says, oh, who's this girl you're with? And Godai says, oh, that's just, you know, a co-worker. She grabs onto his arm, and she goes, yeah, we're going to movies together. And so, like, you feel Kyoko, like, she's just in disbelief, right? She doesn't want to believe this. And they're walking off, and then she snaps to and looks behind her and realizes, you know, what's happening. So for the whole date that she's out with this guy, going to this concert, going out to dinner, she's thinking about Godai. And so he'll ask, the tennis coach will ask her something like, hey, you know, you mind if we go out again? And he's like, Kyoko, did you hear what I say? She's like, of course I heard. How dare you ask me something like that? He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Just saying if you wanted to go out again. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. Because she's thinking about Godai. It's just pretty funny how it all works out. It's like, you know, their romantic interest starts, you know, really budding at this point. And it's a great volume, what can I say? And so you leave off at this point where now all of a sudden Kyoko is thinking, oh, well, I guess I didn't mean much to him at all if he's out with this girl, right? And this is what, like DB3 was saying, like Escaflowne, it's a series that once it gets its claws into you, it doesn't like letting go.
Yeah.
And My Shinobi Kaku is exactly like that. And, yeah, I give this a recommended, but it's just so funny, and you can relate with these characters, you know? If you lived life, you know what it's like. And sometimes you really, there's a connection, I guess, with the characters in some of these shows when they're portrayed realistically enough. So I'm going to give, long shotgun review, eh? I'm going to give My Shinobi Kaku Volume 3 a highly recommended. And, wow, it's a, they haven't had a show this long in quite a while, eh, DB3?
Yeah.
Yeah. The end. So did you get an anime DVD in the mail?
Better yet, fan mail.
Okay, so, fan mail section.
Fan mail.
And,
there was fan mail.
Very special fan mail I wanted to get to.
is it the only fan mail we have?
Yes. but our show is run long. So we won't really be going and covering much of anything else this episode, because we've already gone an hour and a half, or thereabouts. So, seriously, this show's gone on too long, and it's almost 1 a.m., so we really need to wrap up the show.
All right, sounds good to me.
Yeah, I bet it does. You just got lucky is what you got. Okay. Normally we do a fan mail, and then we do our random hotspot sort of feature. I was going to go and review one of my new anime soundtracks, but we don't have time for that. We do have time, but we got
to
be sensible. We got to be sensible about the length of the episode.
I have a manga I can review.
What's that?
Dragon Hunter.
Oh, Dragon Hunter.
Yeah.
Yes. That's an older series, isn't it?
I'm not sure how old it is, but...
Mm. Well, anyways, so DB3 will review this on a future episode. The episode's gone on long enough, don't you think?
Yeah, it's gone on a little long.
Okay, so next time we'll get to the delicious subject of our first fan mail back from Nandesucon. But briefly, DB3, if you would, for our new listeners, cover what the fan mail section's all about, what they
can
send
in
about it, our contest. Give them the basic rundown, if you will, so we wrap up this episode and have our next.
Let me first start off by saying the fans make the show, which is our motto here at A Show Radio. And because of that motto, we actually need your input. We need to know what we do good, what we do bad, what we can improve on, what we are already
doing well but could be better at.
Yes, and for these reasons, we need you to write in. We like you writing in. It brings sort of a
community feeling.
Yeah, it gets us feeling good, basically. Even if you write, this is what you guys are doing bad, it still makes us feel good that people are listening, that our work isn't futile.
Yeah, we're not just throwing these out into the void.
Yeah. So, write in. As NC said, we have some contests. We have the...
Fan art contest.
Fan art contest, where You draw anime, send it in, and...
Well, you don't have to draw a whole anime, but we do take picture submissions.
No, it has to be a full anime so we can put it
preferably
out.
Preferably of our mascot, Bandy, which can also be seen in the Artist Alley section.
Yes.
Or just any anime or video game in particular, and then we pick one winner every 4 episodes and award them a prize from our Mystery Vault.
And then we have the trivia contest where...
Very nice.
You subscribe to...
Our What's Up at NZ17 Productions newsletter.
Where we give you a question. And at the end of the month, we'll tell you the answer to the question. Well, at the end of 4 episodes.
Yeah.
We'll answer the questions, and we'll have a drawing, see who wins. So you need to write in to give us your answers for the trivia.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there?
Let's see. Sometimes we have our... fan mail subject, our topic.
Right, where we ask you guys to write in concerning a specific topic, usually dealing with some sort of anime or manga.
Of course, fan mail's not the only way to get input onto the show, not to mention, of course, fan art, which we love getting. And, of course, with the trivia contest, that's also every 4 episodes we award out a prize. We'll actually make it nice, even episodes next time that we will be giving out prizes for the fan art and fan mail contest will be on episode number 82. So be sure to get in your trivia answers, which you can only find the questions through the What's Up at NZ17 Productions mailing list, so subscribe. And the fan art, of course, is obvious enough, and we'll announce those winners on episode 82. So, the other way is we have polls on our site. Very fun, generally frivolous polls, which you can vote in. And our polls are cool because instead of just one vote per person, it's a battle of wills. So you can vote for as many different options for as often as you like, because it's basically whoever likes their option best wins.
Yeah.
So you can just keep on clicking that submit button and let the world know your opinion. Let's see. Is there anything else we should cover for new listeners?
That's probably about it.
You want to talk about the hotspot real quick and what that's all about?
No, we can keep them in anticipation. I think that would be good.
All right, well, I'll leave them with this. The hotspot is like a roulette wheel we spin every week to determine what our special last section will be.
And usually we spin it right before we spin it.
Yeah, so we generally don't even know what it will be until we get there. So, yeah, we're going to cut this show short, quote-unquote. Generally, the news section isn't quite so long, because generally we just cover actual anime news instead of conventions, but regardless. Okay, so just some quick updates for our longtime listeners. I got all the pictures up from Nandesu-kun in the Artist Alley, which we mentioned earlier. I'm slowly but steadily putting up descriptions for those cosplayers that gave us their name and character and all that. I might go through later and put on some of the other characters who they're supposed to be cosplaying as, if I know what they're from, which is why we had the seat in the first place, so we wouldn't have to guess. Some nice updates onto the site. I've finally gone and integrated a database with the episode descriptions, so updating the site will be extremely easy now. I just have to log into the administration area, change the episode number, and that's it. So, thankfully, we have streamlined our process, and we will now be able to bring you out episodes on a weekly reliable basis, unlike the promised weekly reliable basis that we have not been able to deliver.
Right.
Right, DB3?
Right.
You wanted this episode up 2 weeks ago. Let's see. Yeah, I'm always doing new stuff on the site. Soon we'll be having the episode database referencing to the reviews, so you can see what we reviewed when and what we gave on which reviewed simply by clicking on things.
How close are you to finishing the review page?
Actually, it's not that much work, so it won't be that far off.
Sweet.
Probably by the time we do episode 82, I'll at least have the one database linking into the other, if not have it all polished up.
Sweet.
So, yes, ASO Radio's website's almost there. Almost at the version 1.0. So that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Just a little bit here and a little bit there. Okay, well, that should be it.
Yeah, that's about it.
All right, so we had a great time at NDK.
Yep.
Want to give a shout-out, say, thanks for all the swell people there every year. Hopefully we'll be invited back next year as guests, as we would be truly honored, and we'd certainly liven up any panel, as we always do, right?
Yes.
I mean, heck, we're just two guys in a recording booth, and I think we make this show pretty fun. But man, you should have heard us with all those live people. We were really playing up to the crowd. That was so fun. Especially when we were using the placards against each other. Okay, shout out to our new fans. You know, glad to have you on board.
And keep listening.
Keep listening. And, of course, a big thank you out to our longtime listeners, because you guys have been keeping us going through times both thick and thin.
Mostly the thin.
Yeah, well, hopefully that'll change now, and it'll be nice, thick, weekly episodes to keep our fans healthy. So, just to wrap things up, write in, make us feel good, send in fan art if you can. We hope to have a bunch of fan mail by the time we get to episode 80, because we're going to be going back in time from 79 to, like, I don't know, 76 or, no, 74. Yeah, we're going back to 74. So we're going to be up to episode 80 soon enough. We do time traveling a lot when we get behind on episodes. So anyway, send in your fan mail, and we'll be sure to try and read all that we can, regardless of who the fan mail is addressed to, on episode number 80. So, for episode 79 of ASO Radio, this is NZ17.
And EB3.
Signing out.